Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Well, I hope this is smooth sailing.
Hi, welcome. It's episode 11. Guy is here. I miss him so much.
I miss you too, Tim. You know, at the start of this, because we weren't really in regular contact, we wouldn't talk a lot. I actually didn't mind, you know, us altering the central premise where we'd have to watch it so far apart, because it was still meaning that, you know, I'd had to traipse across 2.5 hours worth of movie, but on the other side of that desert was a wonderful conversation with my friend Tim. And this is not a slight on you or our friendship, I don't think, but it's, you know, the reward for walking across that 2.5 hours of hot coals, or whatever you want to call it now.
It's not
worth it, but it's not as tantalizing. We are in the depths of a real Pavlov's dog situation here, Tim.
Whereby?
If I get a message from you, I don't want to read it.
Ah, it makes me sad to hear.
Yeah, and I think,
why have I got to be the stern dad, you know?
You don't have to be the stern dad. I mean, how do you feel when you get a message from me?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah,
you said my boy that tentatively. But
no, I did. No, it wasn't tentative at all.
Do you know how you said it?
Go on.
Good. It wasn't like good.
That's me being tired, because confession to make. I couldn't even get through the movie this time.
I watched
an hour last night, and I was there for that, and it was so. It was hell. It was so bad.
It is hell.
I couldn't stand it. There was a real stinker in my bed. It was like someone had taken a shit where I sleep.
I love and this. So,
you know,
interestingly, I'm like so happy to hear of how much you're struggling, because I am too.
Misery loves company, dude. It's you good to hear when other people are down in the dumps.
And you're in the exam and you're trying to figure it out, and you're going, oh, this is fuck. I hate this. This is hard. This stinks. And you look over and it looks like all your mates are doing great and concentrating and doing well.
The worst.
Then you get out of the exam and you go, how do you find that? And they go, that was awful.
Yeah, that's the best.
This is what it is. Because I was sitting here watching this thinking, oh, I bet you, fuck, Tim's probably got, you know, Zoe and one.
Nah.
So anyway, so you watched an hour last night.
We have introduced another component to the marriage, to the marital bed.
That's right.
Okay, very good. Well, no, nothing could be further from the truth. I actually felt like I was in the dead zone, not only with Zoe, but just by myself. I woke up this morning to finish off Knock the Bastard Off, as our own Suri Mantillery would say, referring to Mount Everest, our tallest peak above sea level, which he climbed before anyone else. Not saying we're the same, but just saying, you know, both Kiwis, both doing a hard thing. And I was watching it and my eyes were getting heavier, and I was like, I'm wearing headphones that are like in-ear. They're so close to my brain. This still counts as a watch if I'll just shut my eyes for just a scene, and I can kind of report back on what it's like to treat the movie as sort of a concept album or maybe a really esoteric podcast.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, I open my eyes. The movie has ended. I've been asleep for upwards of 40 minutes. My brain just shut the thing down. It was like, we can't keep doing this during the morning. It's not a way to live.
40 minutes owing, which I love. I love having that over you.
Fuck. Hey, but can't you chalk it up too? And I know that I didn't quite interpret it so kindly when you did it, but could you not chalk it up to it as a type of watching the film?
No.
Because when I'm asleep, because I still have my headphones in, it was like had access to a part of my brain that media usually doesn't. You know, it was a real subconscious.
You know why it doesn't count?
Why?
Because while I think subconsciously that will crop up somewhere down the line and you'll like be in quite a deep mental battle with yourself and you won't quite be able to place why, for the immediate, for right now, an immediate response to that, that is a healthier and happier way to consume the movie. And while you didn't enjoy the screening and I can hear the palpable distaste in your voice, I think given another 40 minutes of content, you'd be, you know, spitting even more venom. And it's funny you should bring this up, Tim, because I was actually thinking, I watched 2 hours of the movie and then got just like so restless and angry and like was sort of almost turning in on myself. I was like, you know what? I got time. I paused it. I went out for a run. I came home. I meditated and then I did everything I could to center myself and be like, you know what? This is fine. Half an hour took about 2 minutes for me to feel exactly as agitated as I had like an hour or whatever, an hour and a half, 2 hours before. So just immediately undid, you know, I was putting the hard yards in on the self-love there. And do you know what occurred to me?
What's that?
I know that this isn't, you know, we're doing our best given circumstance and time zones and whatnot. But if we really want to feel this, if we really want to experience this, from here forth, the movie must be consumed as it was made in one hit.
Oh, fuck, man. I think this disproportionately affects me. I feel like I'm in a court case now. I feel like that the punishment does not befit
the two parties. I was thinking this. I was going to broach this topic independent from your behavior this morning. So I don't want you to conflate two separate circumstances.
Look, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. Due to the fact that you're in New York City, the fifth girl, you're inside of her. She's operating at a different time zone. The only time really that can accommodate both of us, because New Zealand's a wacky loose son of a gun, doesn't look at a lot of clocks, loves the casino, loves to just get lost in it. The only bit that coincides for being waking hours really between the hours of about 9 a.m. to what, like noon or 1 p.m. here. And for you, that's from, I think, 5 p.m. to whatever, add the appropriate number of hours. So if that's going to be the way, Guy, we're going to, every now and then, we're going to be cutting into more of your nights, because I'm not going to get up at like 6 a.m. to watch this movie in one hit.
That's fine.
Ongoing basis.
Hey, look, I don't mind that at all. And for what it's worth, you know, you could also do... you might have to sacrifice the end of some of your nights as well.
Quite fine.
Which is also fine. But I just think in the spirits of truly putting ourselves through the Sex and the City mincer and coming out as bolognese, whatever it is that we're looking to do to ourselves here, I think to experience this in three dimensions, we need to stop giving ourselves these little bits of wriggle room. I mean, it was telling, to be honest, that it had only an impact for as long as I was not watching the movie and it could be undone so quickly. But I just think...
Let me say what's in my heart. I am proud of you. I feel incredibly emotional this morning. In fact, I messaged you moments ago saying, I miss you. And you replied, save it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was particularly callous. But then you did. You walked it back afterwards and told me that you missed me too.
I didn't walk it back. I didn't change my desire for you to save the expression.
You softened it. You softened it. You said, save it for the conversation. And then you said, I miss you too, a couple of minutes after that.
Did you think this is not where a severe response when you'd opened yourself up emotionally?
This is not the terminal of what I'm trying to say here. What it is I'm so proud of you because maybe this is a false memory. I don't know. Maybe this is a narrative I've just spun for myself that's incorrect. I don't know. But I'm thinking back to the first season. I'm thinking back a little bit to the second season. And I remember a wiggly little worm, Guy Montgomery, who played by the rules on the whole, but, you know, would test the boundaries. And bad cop Tim having to lay down the law, penalizing little watchers when little sleepy guy fell asleep. And oh, how the tables have turned. Now it's Timbo with his weary little head. And now it's Guy going, you know what? The integrity of this project demands...
Well,
that we punish ourselves further to what we are. And I couldn't be more proud of you.
You know, I think if you look at circumstance surrounding the timing, you know, you have settled into not the next phase of your life, but, you know, you've leveled up in a sense. You're a happily married man now. You have a beautiful wife and a beautiful life.
I played with a dog all day yesterday and it was sublime.
You guys going to get a dog? That is such a married thing to do.
Wish.
Oh man, you guys are
not as much as Zoe does.
You're gonna get a dog. Wish. Yeah, you were talking about getting a dog before I'd even left, I think. It's totally in the works.
It's just because Zoe wants a dog so badly, and I just want Zoe to be happy. But if we get a dog, it severely limits where we can live, you know.
I have a feeling where can't you live with a dog?
Any sort of rental property that says no dogs, which is most of them.
Oh, no. That's just a suggestion. That's not a rule.
Is it?
Yeah, if you look closely, they've all got tiny little question marks after them.
Oh, shoot.
No dog?
Cool. Oh, well, that's good. Okay, sweet. Maybe I'll go get one today.
Well, that's a little too fast, maybe. But, oh, sorry about that. While you've,
I'm going to phase my life and wife.
You've settled into a sort of an elderly statesman role. You know, you've okay. You know, I look to you as someone who has more answers than I previously might have. I have relocated to the Big Apple, the city of angels itself. James and the giant peach, the city that never sleeps. New York, New York. I'm awake. I'm alive. I'm active. I'm watching movies, you know. And yeah. So I feel like it's quite a natural transition where, you know, you're watching, I mean, some of this media you're consuming in your marital bed, you're sullying the most sacred of all spaces by dragging four people, the gals is who I'm talking about, you know, all with their own varying degrees of emotional baggage into.
There's five. There's five gals.
The character of New York City. Look, all that to say, I feel like we've straightened that out. So we will only be consuming the movie in its entirety from here forth.
Yeah, I want to poke around what you're suggesting, though, because you're kind of describing me as being in my twilight years almost.
No. I don't think you're in your twilight years. Not at all. I just think, you know, you're probably drinking a lot more warm milk than you were previously.
Not wrong about that.
No, all I was sort of saying is that I understand, you know.
Things have changed.
Yeah, things have changed. And there's a reason I think that I've sort of taken the mantle of being slightly more.
I see.
The circumstance surrounding my life presently means that, you know, that's a smaller sacrifice. So it's one that I'm more likely to volunteer and make for us than the inverse. And I don't know that was the case beforehand, but you were sort of, I sort of treated you like the, in terms of commitment, you'd get these real wild looks in your eyes. And I sort of thought of you as the mad scientist and me as your capable assistant. You know,
How often does it happen that you find a friend or a creative partner where you're able to dip in and out of that role, you know, where you can change who wears that mantle. Not often. We're special, Guy. You and I. Timbo and Guy Guy forever for 100 years.
You said it, pal. Well, I can't help but notice that we've been prattling on for nigh on, 15 minutes and have not spoken one word about...
Long may that rain. Don't say the movie. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. Can we get into that in give me another 5 minutes. We'll get into it at the 20-minute mark. Is that okay?
I'd like to talk about, and I'm just going to gloss over my observation of a very crusty doorman who works in the apartment.
Oh, wait, are you in the movie?
Big and Carrie are checking out.
Come on, man.
After they've seen the apartment that they first arrive at, lucky number 33, that their agent tells them she tried to warn them not to come because it's so bad, and it is admittedly a bad-looking apartment, they leave the apartment and they're walking out, and as they're walking, Carrie says to the estate agent, she says, let us know if there's anything else that comes up. We're very interested in this building. And they press the button on the lift. Obviously, they've traveled up from the ground floor to get to where they are. So they press the button on the lift. Now, this button has to be the down button because that's the only direction, logically, these people could be traveling after inspecting and disapproving of an apartment that is above the ground floor. We see a view out of a window. We know this cannot be in the basement. The lessor says, well, there's one that's just opened up that's not even on the market yet. Would you like to see that? They all say, yeah, obviously. And he presses PH at the top of the buttons, the button stack in the lift, presumably representing the word penthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the lift then, lifts are binary, Tim. They follow the first instruction every time. This looks like a kind of old lift. So this lift, while they might have
ordered, unless it was the Great Glass Elevator,
but
from Roald Dahl Land.
We know it's not the Great Glass Elevator because we see that it's not the Great Glass Elevator.
You've got me there. Please continue.
If it was the Great Glass Elevator, do you not think that would consume...
Please continue. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry I brought it up.
A substantial amount of the film would be sort of built around the fact Carrie, a writer herself, would say, this is going to sound crazy, everybody, but I can't help but shake the feeling that we have wandered into Roald Dahl's Great Glass Elevator from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I take it back. Pretend like I never even said it. So we're in there. We're going to the penthouse.
Well, no, but so they get in. They order the lift to take them down. By the time they get into the lift, circumstances change and they want to go straight to the penthouse. He pushes penthouse. And then the next scene, it's a cut. We don't actually get to see what transpires in the lift, but they arrive at the penthouse. There's a good scene on the cutting room floor here. Probably
Clyde Montgomery.
2 to 5
fucking
minutes.
Fucking hell. We've been talking for 2 minutes. That's where your landing point was?
They go down to the ground floor. They go, aren't lifts annoying?
Christ.
Then they push the penthouse button again. Maybe on the way down, someone who already lives in the building gets into the lift and they go, hi. And they go, hi. And they exchange pleasantries, small talk. They get down to the ground floor and then they've got to ride all the way back up the lift to the top floor. I mean, I know that this movie is
worried. I am worried about this season if this is episode 11.
I don't know that
this ain't good content.
Is wanting for length, but a bit of variety. I'd love to see the four
run
of
into the house and get my whiskey. I want to run into my house and get my bottle of whiskey right now, just as a safety blanket.
What's your beef?
That was, who cares, man? Fuck. Jesus. It took such a long time to get there. It's a lift. Yeah, we don't see all the lift. Would you rather there be another fucking 4 minutes of this movie that we have to see every episode?
Look, I'm looking for opportunity. I'm looking for places where we can get a little bit more exposition, maybe get to empathize and relate to the characters. You don't see the characters doing anything that's particularly banal, boring, day-to-day. They're unrelatable. These are not people who I associate with. I want to see them in the lift, making small talk with someone that they want something from, but they can't be bothered talking to.
Okay. What do they want from the person?
They want to rent the fucking apartment.
Oh, I said, sorry. So to the letting agent. I gotcha. That was a big cough, but I'm getting better at muting the microphone now. Well, Guy, while we're in that zone in the movie, I must concede a point to you. A couple of episodes ago, you brought up the fact that the letting agent for the apartment, because there's two like realtors that we deal with in this scene. There's one presumably for, excuse me, for this building, and then one representing Big and Carrie's interests. And the one who's kind of there for the building representing, that's a funny concept, isn't it? The rooms get their own realtor and the people, they get a realtor too.
Yeah.
But after Citizens United, corporations are people and rooms get realtors. So that's kind of a fun concept. So the rooms realtor who takes them up to the penthouse unexpectedly, he's like, I've got this other apartment that I'm looking after because I've got multiple rooms that I look after. So when he says your wife has quite a sense of humor, you can actually see, based on how they've framed the shot, that he is standing right next to Carrie. So I pulled you up a couple episodes ago because you said, why the fuck is he directing that at Big? And I suggested that it was probably just the staging of where everyone was standing in that scene. Like, he was close to Big, so he said it to the closest person next to him to try and gin up some good favor from the couple. But no, he's standing right next to Carrie. So you were right, man.
Hey,
you should have just said, hey, you're funny. You're a funny gal.
Thanks for that. And I'd like
what to are you, a writer?
Record that all realtors, even if you're listening along right now and you think, and even if you're listening along and you agree with me that this movie could use a decent elevator scene, if you're a realtor, I'm sorry to say that there's a pretty high chance that you're a real piece of shit.
Oh, wait. Guy.
Yeah. Man, you are not good.
What I just muted is I basically just had an asthma attack while you were saying that as well.
You are you're downtrodden mentally.
No,
and
it's good.
Mentally and
this is how,
physically, your health
this
is.
This is how I heal.
At a low ebb.
This is how I heal. I get a, it doesn't happen very often, but I'll get a cold, like maybe once or twice a year, like a pretty good one. And it'll fuck me up for only like 2 days, 2 or 3 days, because I'm smart about it. I'll just fucking, and I don't work in an office, which I think really helps. So I can just hammer the hot lemon, honey, and ginger drinks. Like, I will drink fucking 3 to 4 liters of the stuff a day, really kick that virus out of there as quickly as possible. But then I end up getting asthma for like 3 weeks after I get sick. It is unavoidable, and it's very annoying. And to be honest, I need to just grow up and get an inhaler because I haven't had one since I was a kid.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with you. It's interesting. You've got these sort of, you don't speak always in totals, but I feel like you're someone who has, you know, quite rigid ideas or ideals about how your body and your health works. Like, you make sort of sweeping generalizations about it. And I don't always agree with the science behind them. And you are married to a doctor.
Yeah.
And yet, you know.
What they bits go, do you take issue with out of that?
Nothing. They go unchecked. I mean, I don't have the qualifications to pull you up on them. What does Zoe think about your theories?
What, did I get asthma after I get sick?
Well, you get sick, what do you say, 2 or 3 times a year?
Yeah.
Never more, never less.
Probably one to two, like a proper virus. Yeah, I don't get a lot of stuff wrong with me. Like, apart from the knee, which is a recent thing, because as we've discussed, I'm in the twilight of my years now. I don't really, I'm incredibly thankful for my good health. It's a hell of a thing. It won't last forever, but I'm having a rocking time with this bod so far.
I know what
God has graced me
with. You know, when you're sick and you think to yourself, or if you've injured yourself and you just sit there and you think, I will never take for granted being at full health again. And then it happens.
I squandered it before.
Yeah, it happens. And then for like a day, you're like, oh my God, I feel amazing. And then the next day, you're like, you're just back to being regular old you and your high functioning body. What pieces of shit we can be.
Yeah. It's because I was thinking about this recently. Happiness, human happiness, is entirely comparative. There's bodies of evidence to back this up. In fact, I remember attempting to read at one point a book written, I'm pretty sure, by Nelson Mandela's wife, and I did not get far in that book. It was a big, thick book, Guy, and I was a young man, And I went in, guns are blazing, legs akimbo, heart a flutter, opened it up, read a few pages and went, this book is too long, I shall not finish it. But one of the insightful things she said was that the happiest people she'd ever met were like field workers who had these simple lives because they were just surrounded by other people like them. And they just kind of like got on and had a real good sense of community. And it's fucking true, man. Comparing your current situation to those around you, that's when you feel happy or really not happy.
It's a fool's game. You can only compare yourself to yourself, really, can you? You look at where you were.
It's not in our nature, though. We're social creatures.
A week ago, a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago. And you think, am I further along where I want to get than I was?
Yeah.
Comparing yourself to another person is for schmucks. And yeah, I refuse
to really
be associated with a schmuck.
You have to actively fight against it, though. I think it's a natural
inclination. I was out and about 2 days ago. I was socializing. I was actually on a friend date. I made a friend.
Were you?
We hung out for probably 5 hours.
I love that.
At one point, we were sitting in a park in Greenpoint. And you're not going to believe this, Tim, but we were smoking weed. And we were having a really good time. Even to remember it now. I'm going to put a fucking
explicit label on this episode. My word. Drugs.
I'm smiling at the memory of us sitting there just very gently stoned. Not very stoned at all, really. It was one of those little sort of things that looks like a cigarette, but it holds a tiny amount of weed in the end. And you have it. And it's just like putting a little sprinkling of, you know, fairy dust on the occasion. But we were watching these we were sort of talking or whatever, and then there were these kids, and all they were doing, they were like, 30 meters away. We were on the grass. They were on the asphalt. They were just running as fast as they could back and forth, and it was as much fun as it's possible for a person to have. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, first of all, how do you recapture that much fun, and would I exchange, you know, the life as it's panned out for myself to this point,
yeah,
to go back, roll those dice all over again, if only for the fleeting moment of happiness that I was witnessing, where three kids who were obviously very good friends were just literally testing the limits of their body and laughing as hard as it's physically possible to laugh.
That is poetry, what you have just put forward. You often reference extreme happiness as it relates to kids running around. This is not the first time I've heard this from you. And it suggests to me, and I've never recommended this to a human being before, but I reckon you should fuck around with CrossFit or something. I feel like you're a man who derives joy out of really kicking the tires on your own biology.
I don't know. I do go running, you know. It's just like, I think it's more just like looking at that moment and being like, that's all their life is right in that moment. I guess it's like presence, right? They don't have their consciousness hasn't expanded enough to be like, well, I'm running around now, but 10 minutes from now, I'm going to be sitting down trying to concentrate. It's like that's literally true. All they are doing is running around. And they're also getting fucking high on endorphins. You know, I told you I was smoking weed in that park. I think the real criminals were these kids. They were fucking sky high on the endorphins provided by their body from the simple act of running back and forth. I called the cops on these kids. They got into a lot of trouble.
Did you?
Yeah, I got them something.
Under the thumb of the DEA.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The conclusion I came to, you know, on whether or not I'd return to childhood is I don't think, you know, no matter how fantastic it looks in the moment, I don't think you do. I don't think you go back.
You can't go home, as they say. I've never understood that saying.
You can't go home?
Yeah, or it's impossible to go home. One of those two things. Have you heard that?
Yeah, kind of. But I think there's got to be broader context for it to function. I don't think it quite works. I mean, obviously, I can't.
I think it is similar to what you're talking about, though. It's sort of, it's referring to the impossibility of turning back the clock, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who fucking knows? Hey, mate, at this point, who fucking knows, eh?
Absolutely. Well, the reason I thought I wouldn't go.
Okay, I was going to say the movie, but please continue.
Well, like, I don't know. I just don't know that I want to roll those dice again. I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty happy with how I've turned out. You know what I'm saying?
You're living a great life. Been a great life. I know it's not all perfect, but my word. No, look on paper. Whew,
I'm very
quite a life.
I'm grateful for my life. But yeah.
You can be proud of it too though, guy. You don't have to just be grateful. You know, you made that. You got given some stuff, you got given some starting materials, but you constructed that.
Yeah.
Someone fucking threw you on a plane to New York City. You made that happen, my boy.
No one did throw me on the plane to New York City.
I'm going to whack one of these in to celebrate you.
What are you doing?
There's a soundboard in the recorder that we're using now. So every now and then, you know, how can you not?
Do I have access to the soundboard?
How can you not chuck in there? I'm not sure. Can you see one on your side of the convo?
No, I can't.
It's just me then, bud.
We've gone off topic here, Tim. I know that you've been avoiding it. The one time I tried to talk about it, I brought it up, and I've not heard you so vehemently poo-poo an idea as you did when I discussed the need for a scene in the elevator.
Yeah. I won't apologize for that. I stand by it.
Well, it's fine. You can criticize as much as you want, but I feel like, you know,
you want me to try.
You have to have something to contribute in terms of analysis of the film.
Hey, you're not wrong. On that note, Shining Lights. Oh, let's hear them. Let's see them, boys.
You've literally got nothing. A shining light means that you've got one moment that you can hang on to and build a conversation around.
I don't even have that, mate. I painted myself into a corner, but I was hoping my brain could function fast enough with the coffee in me now to.
Now I know what you're doing. You're stalling by describing the stall.
No, well, I'm just engaging in a conversation with you at this point. Not everything is a ruse.
Can I tell you something, Tim? You speculated recently about how rich Big is.
Yeah.
As soon as it's decided that they want that penthouse apartment, we're still in the opening throes of the film here. I don't know if you've heard the ADR. The ADR is fast becoming the sixth character in this movie after New York City.
The sixth gal.
Yeah.
ADR.
ADR. He says...
you got Charlotte, Carrie, Miranda, Samantha, New York City, and additional vocal recording. Dialogue recording.
It's good stuff. But he goes to the letting agent immediately. He says to Carrie, I got it. And then... It's sort of the shot stays on how happy Carrie is with this moment. And then you just hear in the background as he turns to this letting agent, okay, let's sign some contracts. And
yeah,
that seems to me, you know, opening expression of enthusiasm, sure. But to do it in the moment, they've walked around this house for less than 2 minutes. This is a penthouse overlooking Central Park on Manhattan, New York City. This guy's got to be laying out, I don't know, say at least $30 million for this place, presumably. I've got no idea what real estate is like here.
That feels like a big number to me. But it would certainly, it's millions. It might even be, yeah, as you say, sort of double-digit millions. I don't know. But get a fucking builder's report, man. Yeah, I'm with you. Christ. We don't know a hoot nanny about
this
place.
You got to get some of your best guys through that building to let you know how it looks. Is it leaky? You know, are there any sort of structural or, you know, the structural integrity? Are there any questions to be asked and answered there? And do you know what the most exciting part of this is, Tim?
See what the noise level is like with the neighbors. If you got thin walls and some big premium diamond subscribers to Samantha Jones's fuck clinic next door who are taking their lessons home with them.
The beauty of the penthouse suite, of course, is that you have no neighbors. There are only the neighbors who live beneath you. And traditionally, sound, I think, travels down louder than it does up.
You would think that. But if you are in the advanced courses of Samantha Jones's fuck clinic, there are a lot of harnesses involved and you fuck on the roof. It's going to create a lot of unexpected noise for people who live above you. It is rare.
Not on the roof, but suspended from, of course.
You got it. The ceiling. Sorry, let me reiterate. So there's harnesses involved and you're fucking on the ceiling of your house.
Well,
this is some advanced stuff.
There's no denying it.
A lot of equipment involved.
Most excitingly, though, the idea of getting a few people through the house to give them the thumbs up before signing any contracts. You know, think of the number of scenes where we could see these people riding the lift. It looks like it'd be about 30 floors. And
this is a whole new movie for
who's
you.
Who's to say how fast people on this lift is? I mean, you get some real beautiful little slices of life in there because riding a lift is unlike socializing anywhere else. Maybe it's like being in an Uber pool or a Lyft line, you know, where you don't necessarily know the other people and you have to make a decision about whether or not to persist with small talk or just sort of act like no one else is there. There's a whole other movie in here, Tim, and it's one that cuts to the core of humanity much, you know, much more efficiently with a much sharper scythe than this.
What if this is a... Is this a has this format been used in a film before? And if not, Guy, you should option it.
Oh, actually, I think I'm just remembering now. I feel like there's an M. Night Shyamalan movie where it's like it's set in a lift and one of them's the devil and they don't know which one. There's six of them.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
that guy's got some big ideas.
Called Devil. It's a 2010 American supernatural horror film. I need the broad strokes.
Hey, while you look up the broad strokes, last week I watched it with Zoe, something, a very astute observation she made, which I'd briefly entertain the idea but never held on to it or the thought. You know how they go in, they look at it, they say, Carrie says, how's this even on the market? They say, messy divorce. She says, how could you get a divorce if you live here? And then she opens the closet and she says something like, oh, well, you know, that wouldn't help. Or what does she say to that?
Well, that
she opens up a small...
It's a witty aside.
Yeah.
You know, she's in the crowd. She goes, well, that explains the divorce.
This tiny little closet. So then Big says, I'll make you a bigger closet. And he fucking does. He makes a huge, not just a walk-in wardrobe, folks. And please don't see the movie. Not just a walk-in wardrobe, but like a bedroom-sized closet with all of these special kind of glass containers like you get displays in a fashion boutique. And Zoe just went, where do you have the room for that? Like, what was that closet space before? And I was like, huh, yeah. Did that used to be the kitchen or something? Like, you don't just get to invent space. That closet area that we're seeing now was space occupied by some other bit of the apartment before. How does this work?
Let's lay out a mental blueprint here because you see them. There's a court. We know there's a courtyard. This is a big place. There's a
huge.
And across the courtyard is the main bedroom. So,
yes.
I mean, the first place that I'm thinking he could have, you know, eaten into is the courtyard. But that feels like an eyesore to me because from what the glimpse I caught, the courtyard is a model of symmetry. You know, a lot of the beauty.
It's also highly structural. He got the work done inside of like a week, it feels like.
No. We see that he doesn't get it done within the week. Remember? That's half the reason he can't focus on the wedding and he's so stressed out because the contractor keeps moving stuff around. He carries the burden of doing renos on the house very heavily. A weighty problem hangs heavy on his neck. He can't give Carrie the commitment and energy she needs as a co-conspirator in the wedding. Carrie, so enraptured in wedding prep, can barely, you know, understand the strain and stress that Big's taken on in volunteering to create a walk-in wardrobe specifically for her. Mm. These are two people who are not communicating with each other very clearly.
Ships in the night. Sort of. Does that apply?
Yeah, ships in the night No, because they have, like, ships in the night, I think they don't, those ships don't traditionally have the opportunity to, you know, engage and see each other because it's dark.
It's true.
These guys live together.
Well, how much time do you think how much time do you think it takes for him to do the closet? Give me a ballpark based on the information we have. It's not long. What is it, 3 weeks?
It's longer. How much time do you think passes between them buying the apartment on the first act of the movie and them getting married?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Like a
that's a couple of months.
Yeah, it's got to be a few months, right?
Yeah, I'd say it is. Hey, you got me there, guy. I'll never talk about the movie again.
No. Don't get it all wrong. I'd love for you to talk about the movie. I spent quite a lot of time thinking about Big in this film. Like this, so there's the scene where obviously they say they're going to buy it, and then Carrie is telling Charlotte and Miranda immediately on the street. And actually, that was something I really enjoyed this week, as she says, can you not feel the one thing I really want you to feel? Because Miranda's being very practical about it. She says, jealous. And I really like the openness, like openly wanting her.
Yeah, it's a good line. Jealous.
It's a trait sorely lacking in, you know, like that. I think it's okay to have sort of negative or not, you know, an entire stable of positive personality traits. I think it's pretty natural for, you know.
It speaks to the depth of their friendship that she can say, can you not just be jealous for my wonderful news, please? That's all I want.
That's the only glimpse into that you get. Otherwise, it's all buried in passive aggressiveness. I really like that. I think the friendships would probably thrive and strive from a little bit more of that.
Do you know
sort
what I noticed this week, though? And nowhere is it more clear than in that scene. That was the one that tipped me off to it first. Is that Charlotte's role is just to laugh at everyone, just to back up like lines that might otherwise die in the dark. She does it a lot.
Say that again, sorry.
Charlotte's role in their friendship group is just to laugh, just to like supportively laugh along when someone thinks they're making a funny. It happens so much. If you look at her for 80% of this film, she's just there to kind of smile and nod or give a supportive laugh. It breaks my heart in a way.
I think that, I mean, I can't speak to the show, but I'm on the record on this season of the podcast as saying, she brings nothing. She understands everything. There's no nuance in her approach to conversation. Everything from her is interpreted very literally. She's a simpleton. Yeah. I think all of the others have a creative spark. And Charlotte might possess some semblance of emotional intelligence, but by ways of being a conversation partner, she doesn't even get a pass.
I reckon that's good, though. There's a utility to that. Because she pulls people up on their shit and she doesn't, it's almost like she's not socially advanced enough to temper it, but that in itself is useful. Para ejemplo, when they're talking during Fashion Week and Miranda says, is this what you guys were doing every Saturday while Steve and Brady and I were at the aquarium? Carrie says, not every Saturday. Which, of course, is true. Fashion Week is a week of the year. Good line. But then Miranda reminisces and says, Steve does the funniest impression of a dolphin. Well, really, it's Steve as a dolphin. And they take a beat, and she kind of like is getting caught up in the emotion of this memory, and then she sort of dismisses it when she sees the other two leaning into her. As if they're going like, oh man, you really miss him, huh? And then Charlotte just goes, you can't forgive him. And there's multiple points in this story where she's like, dude, it was one time he fucked up. He said he was sorry like a million times. He's contrite. He wants to make this right. You got a kid together. She just lays it out, you know?
Yeah. That's that emotional intelligence coming through. But like, if you don't know her personally and you get caught talking to her at a dinner party, you're really battling for common ground.
I don't know. Because I'm like, going to call you on that. I'd love to talk to Charlotte at a party. She seems friendly. I reckon she...
No, you wouldn't. You're saying that to be...
I'm not.
You would complain about it. Come and find me. You'd take me to the bathroom. You'd go, fuck, can you swap seats with me? I'm stuck with
a real dud. I'm not. She's nice. You know, she's a nice person. There's a lot...
Nice. You know, nice is the most loaded word in the world. Nice and fine have both been absolutely reappropriated to communicate the opposite of what their original definition is. Someone says they're fine. It means that their life is literally coming apart at the seams. If someone is described as nice, it means that they are the single most boring person.
Okay, I'll rephrase it. She's a warm person. She cares about other people. Oh,
she's barely even warm. There's no substance.
You are raining down fire on Charlotte this week, and I don't know where this is coming from, Guy. What's happened to you two? What she said?
Nothing's happened to us. I've told you. We've been on the rocks for weeks.
I want to get you kids back together. I'm not sure what it's going to take, but I want to see you and Charlotte try and repair this relationship. Similar to the emotional joy that you see when Brady and Miranda get back together every time.
Good fucking luck. And it's Steve and Miranda.
Sorry, I was straight.
Brady and Miranda are strong.
My apologies. I was trying to get to the end of the sentence before I just like coughed up a lung again. As I reached for the mute button.
That's okay. You've done a great job of muting those ones. It just becomes confusing because it makes your thoughts sound quite stilted. I got to wrap this thing up. We've been bloody prattling on for years. I just wanted to say I was very interested in Big, this watch, and I'll be impressed. This is something for you to look out for next week. After they've been to the divorce auction and Carrie starts being a little bit paranoid about not being married to Big and wanting to contribute finances to the house, Big's chopping a tomato on the chopping board. I have looked for 11 weeks now to find some sort of continuity or anything to suggest sloppy filmmaking. But this guy not only has phenomenal form and technique in chopping a tomato, but whoever shot it and edited it has phenomenal filmmaking technique in ensuring that there's no opportunity for there to be a logical inconsistency in the timing and amount of tomato being chopped.
Good on the filmmakers, and good on you, Guy, for that eagle eye. Wonderful.
Big shout out to everyone. To his credit, the man is untouchable.
My shining light? I don't know. Samantha's humping dog?
I thought that was bad this week.
Went into it?
I thought it was lazy. Lazy film, right? I guess a perfect match for your lazy approach to consuming Sex in the City.
It gets
this
a
week.
Shining light from Timbo and two thumbs down from The Flash.
Okay. My shining light. That observation about Big wasn't my shining light. That was just
extra
me letting a peek behind the curtain. My shining light, and this is an Easter egg that I think a lot of people would have missed early on, and you're welcome to this information and do with it what you will. I think you're going to really enjoy it. When Steve approaches Miranda at the rehearsal dinner. It's after that. It's when Miranda goes back inside after seeing Steve at the rehearsal dinner, and she's
it's not a rehearsal dinner.
They call it a rehearsal dinner, just so clear. Or whatever it is.
What? No, they
it's not important.
It's the engagement dinner.
It's the big dinner. Samantha comes in and says Steve's outside and wants to see you. And Miranda sort of builds up the courage to go outside. There's a frieze or a sort of a beautiful grand European looking painting. It appears to be from the Renaissance period, or I mean, that's what it's meant to look like, I think. And the framing is incredible. So the figure in the background is that of a man, and there's his left hand is sort of extended open, palm open, and it sort of looks like it's gently grazing Miranda's shoulder. But to the left of that, and I can't believe I've missed it for 10 screenings already, is
a dick.
Yeah, a tidy little flaccid dick. You could say it foreshadows Dante's Peak later in the film, but
indeed,
I hadn't noticed it, and I saw it, and I thought that's a fun. Whoever framed that up was having fun, and you know, Mattress Pikelet King, to his credit, saying, "Yep, leave it in. That's a great bit of fun. Good decisions made all day, made all round on that day."
Yeah, fuck yeah. A bit of penis, eh?
Bit of a dick. I'm going to send
What a great addition.
I'll send you the image. Otherwise, Tim.
I am well aware of the penis. I've seen it multiple times.
And you never thought to bring it up. I guess that's a testament to your maturity, huh?
Maybe. Who's to say? Let's put a bow on it, guy. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week, which is European Mr. Dick. Big's Closet Extensions. Oh.
Two sponsors.
Well, both. They've both, yeah, two sponsors on the party this week.
Any
Guy, I say to you, let's never do this again.
And I say to you, I look forward to talking to you next time after you've watched 40 minutes of the film and 2 hours and 30 minutes of the film. Those are allowed to be in independent settings. But
fuck you.
It's going to be spicy. My boy.
Fuck
you.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.